I support Bernie. I feel the burn.
My name is Elon Musk, and like I am being dwarfed in a weird name situation here.
It was period correct. Full frontal male nudity.
Hello and welcome. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am, pardon me, host of the show, Brian Beckner, your friend, your good friend in podcasting, Brian Beckner. Stoked you have joined us. Thank you very much for joining us for episode 121 of the show. As always, we'd like it if you reach out. You can do that via email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can send us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. As always, I implore you to follow us on Facebook because somebody emailed me and I haven't posted it yet. But by the time you hear this, if you're hearing this, it's on our Facebook page. I haven't had a chance, but someone has emailed me a link to a story with photographs and video, I believe, on the World Championships of Vaping. There are vape competitions, and I've got a link to a story. I haven't read it yet, but the point is, I will post it on our Facebook page. I will share it there. You can comment there. You can become a part of the discussion if you follow us on Facebook. As always, like us on iTunes and check out our Patreon page. That is the and a lot. When Fancy Sauce joins us later, she will have the roster of who's been contributing. But a lot of you, very kind, good-natured people, have reached out to us on Patreon and donated money, and we appreciate that. So check out the Baller Lifestyle on Patreon.com and hook us up there. Joining me now, as always, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. I had a weird moment at the at my kids' school this weekend, or at the high school in our area. My son did a show with like high school kids. Oh, yeah. Like they have like a show, and they brought a couple kids from like the lower grades. Yeah. And he had like a big part, and like I said, I don't like shows that don't involve my kids.
Of course not.
But I'm super happy to watch my kid do something he's proud of and all.
Of course. You're supportive, and, Dad.
But, you know, they're like, you know, there's a dressing room, and so with high school kids, they go to the dressing room, they do whatever the fuck they want. When you're with an 8-year-old, you kind of have to like wait, and he's like, "Well, do you want to come in the dressing room with me, Daddy?" And I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna hang back in the hallway and like do your thing." Uh-uh. Well, you know, some of these high school kids don't give a fuck. And these girls, some of them are starting to get changed like in this hallway near the dressing room. And I'm standing outside and I'm like, I didn't want to get caught, nor did I don't, yes, you know, my taste has. My taste has matured.
Oh, I agree.
No, I didn't even want to be holding my phone. So I like went to the corner and stared at the corner like I was on some timeout and I was 2 years old.
So awkward.
I was so awkward. Yeah. And these girls are like talking and giggling. And I want no part of it. And it was so weird. And then I'm like kind of shouting like, "Hey, you're almost done, buddy. Let's go. Let's go." And I'm just staring at a fucking corner and just feeling very awkward. And I can tell there's activity very close to me. And I'm just tunnel vision. I don't want anyone to think I'm looking. I don't want to look. I don't want anything to do with it. But it was a weird moment with high school kids.
Well, you did the right thing, buddy. Like, that's an awkward position to be in.
No upside.
I mean, I might have accidentally caught a look. I'm not perfect. I'm only... I'm a slave to my manliness. But I would try not to, for sure. What else? Anything else going on?
All right, you do anything good this weekend?
No, nothing exciting. Nothing.
Go to any rallies or anything?
I went to, yes, well, sort of. I took my children. Bernie Sanders had a rally here in Orange County, and I think he had a couple, but I went to one at an amphitheater where I've seen many, where I once saw Iron Maiden. I've seen many, many concerts there. And
was there music? I'm guessing it wasn't Iron Maiden. Was it like a jam band or something?
Well, that's the thing. We got there. It started at 3. And I wanted to go see my guy Bernie talk. And it was a full, like, Secret Service situation, I guess, because the candidates get that kind of protection. So there was, like, a full TSA lineup. And it was, like, you know, like, pretty high security. But we get in, we get a good seat, and it started at 3 o'clock. But I had a dinner set up that we had to be at 6. And so we're sitting there, and it's kind of hot, and, like, nothing's really happening. And the place is pretty full. And I think what happened is they overestimated the time. And it was probably, I would say, I think including the lawn, the amphitheater holds like 16,000 or something. And so all the seats were filled. So there was probably like 12,000 people there. And there's, you know what I was shocked by?
That you were at a political rally?
No, I was into that part of it. But I was shocked by people's inability to square up a beach ball. You know, a lot of these hippies, they get the beach ball, but it's like they do this at the Dodger game too.
Well, I can't imagine the Bernie Sanders crowd is a super athletic crowd.
No, they're definitely not. But you did see a wide...
Not a lot of hand-eye coordination.
You did see like a wide swath. There was the sort of hipster crowd. There was like the older intellectual crowd. You did get a lot, but no.
Those are people who are like good at riding unicycles. Yes. But not like balls.
There was not any, like, if I wanted to kill some time on the grass tossing the football around, I don't think I would have been able to find a partner.
A receiver?
Yes. I don't think there would be anybody that could wing a spiral back to me. But there was a lot of beach balls bouncing around, which is very nerve-wracking. Because while a beach ball you got to have your head on a swivel. And because, yeah.
Well, they go so slow. Yeah,
but you don't want one to bump you in the back of the head because it won't hurt you, but then you look like an idiot. And so you kind of got to be ready for the beach ball coming around. And this happens a lot at Dodger Stadium. And I hate the beach ball in general.
Beach ball at a baseball game?
Oh, yeah. Tons. Thousands.
That's embarrassing. Yes, you make fun of ball clubs that have, like, you know, different colored uniforms. Like, a beach ball is pretty lame. The only thing worse is to bring your dog to the ballpark.
And the wave. The wave. The beach ball. Yes, bringing your dog.
But the wave is everywhere.
It's true.
They're just stupid people. Shouldn't be anywhere. So the wave. No, certainly.
But I would notice that that beach ball would come around, and all you got to do is just kind of tap it back in the air. And these fucking idiots could not, like, they would go to, like, whack it, and it would, like, spin off. Like, they'd get it on the side, and it'd spin off like a curveball. And the point is, that was what I noticed. But because we made it there, we were all ready. My man Bernie Sanders wasn't set to go on stage until 6 p.m., which we didn't know until we were already there. So we had to bounce before that. Luckily, it was just down the street. I went
before he actually talked.
Yeah, I didn't get to see my guy Bernie talk. I didn't get to expose my children to a little.
Well,
yes.
The cool thing is, if you've heard him speak once over the last 6 months, you heard what he had to say.
Right. Well, they all do the same.
I mean,
speech.
This is what I was getting at. Again, because last time we were bringing it up, I'm not debating politics. Bernie is like, to say he's the most likable candidate of all of, like, the 20 that I've run would be the understatement of the century. Like, he's a billion times more likable than number two.
Ted Cruz guy was pretty cool.
He was pretty fucking awesome.
Carly Fiorina.
Carson. Yeah. But Ben Carson. I truly like Bernie. However, a political rally is a bunch of bullshit because you're hearing somebody talk without ever being challenged on anything.
Right.
And Bernie Sanders at this point hasn't been challenged because Hillary doesn't want to alienate his people. So nobody's challenging this guy, and he just says the same shit, like, oh, free college for everyone. It's like the high school, you know, like, when you go to a political rally, there's no discourse. It's just a guy giving talking points that could be shot down, but nobody's shooting him down.
Sure. It was,
what's the point of going?
It was definitely not a debate, but it was a thing. Like, it was an event that I'll probably never go to another one. I'll probably never be really passionate about another political candidate. It was right down the street from my house, and I was like, you know what? I think I want to take my kids to this to check it out. But unfortunately, I missed out on my guy Bernie.
Yeah, well, he, you know, he would do what, like, a high school kid running for office, like, you know, calling for no homework and free pizza and everybody high-fives each other, even though nobody asks him how to explain how it gets
done. I mean, that's oversimplifying, because
His speeches are way more likable, but as unrealistic as Trump saying he's just going to put up a wall between us and Mexico. But
his big message is to...
Nobody who works 40 hours a week, you know, should be in poverty. Like, yes, but no. Then nobody asks, like, can you get into it? Can you get into how everybody goes to college for free? Nobody challenges them on
his
shit.
His big message is to take money
away from the rich people.
No! Listen to me!
Yes. Yeah, I know. We've heard
his
them all.
Big message is to get money, corporate money, out of politics. And that is the essence of the two-party system. That's why we're in the situation we're in. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you don't want these big corporate interests making the rules for you. They don't represent the people. The people should get to choose.
Right.
And that message resonates with people. It's a fucking fundamental message that people agree with on both sides.
And free pizza on Thursdays.
The only people that disagree that want to keep corporate money in politics are the people that are fucking running the show.
Everyone who's in office.
Of course. And so there's one guy that doesn't. And that's the guy I support.
So what better way to get it done by preaching to the people that are already on his side?
Well, he's converted many people. Like
That rally was as useless as a screen door.
But he had no people on his side, Ed. He was no one. And now he's made this movement. It's a miraculous thing. And your whole thing is that, well, just fucking vote for the winner. Like, whoever's going to win, that's who you should pick because it's fucking over. Well, that's the apathy that's gotten us to this place where we are. That's why our country's fucked. Because people don't give a fuck. And so someone you give a fuck about and you want to make fun of, oh, hey, this guy has made people passionate about politics. He's not going to win.
He's made people unrealistic, too. I mean, he's made people, like, fired up for the wrong reasons, too. People don't totally understand.
No, he's made people fired up for the right reasons.
No, people don't understand what they're yelling about. Look at all the clips of these people going crazy about Nevada when really nothing went on. Nobody was preventing them. Guys are complaining about finding parking. Yeah, he's getting people frothing in the mouth. Sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's just people frothing in the mouth.
Well, you could say that with anything. Like, any cause, there's going to be outliers. But to me, his fundamental message resonates with me. And if he doesn't win, I don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter to me. I haven't voted for the winner of a fucking election ever. And I don't care to. It doesn't matter to me at all. I support Bernie. Right. I feel the burn. What is going on in the world of sports?
Well, the IOC is preparing for the summer's Olympics in Rio, and one of their big concerns is safe sex. And when you put all these athletes
fuck the shit out of each other every Olympics.
They're at the prime of their physical lives.
Their testosterone's all pumped up. They're super fucking horny.
They're in a small village. You're going to have lots of fuck.
There's French people there. Yeah. Africans.
Italians.
Yes.
So they're expecting 10,500 athletes over 2 weeks in August. And how many condoms do you think they're supplying for the village?
Okay, how many?
It's 2 weeks.
How many athletes?
10,500.
10,500 over 2 weeks.
But keep in mind, they usually stay for about a week. Like, the track and field guys aren't there for 2 weeks.
I'm going to say 10,000 times. I'm going to say 53,000 rubbers. Some of those athletes are lesbians, so they should have some dental dams as well. But I'm going to say condoms, 53,000.
All right, you'd be off by a little bit. They are supplying 350,000 male condoms, 100,000 female condoms.
Oh, dental dams.
Yeah, and 175,000 packets of lube.
Lube? I was using condoms,
old ladies
I'm
guessing like the equestrian the archery. Sometimes you can get some old archery people.
Ed, occasionally you need people put those things.
You're going back to
people put those things in a not naturally lubricated area.
Right. Back door, top shelf.
Yes, and you know there might be some alternative lifestyle athletes there.
Sure. That, well, yeah, there's male gymnasts there.
Yeah, exactly.
Divers.
Divers. That's a lot, but they also
synchronized swimmers.
They also have the Zika virus. Ed, much like you don't get pumped up for political rallies, I could not give any less fucks about the Olympics. Other than,
oh, I love the Olympics.
I like,
love it.
I enjoy. I sort of like the boxing.
Boxing, track and field. You don't like watching the 100 meter dash? That is awesome.
The 100 meters, the two. Yeah, those are quick. But like the fucking high jump and the javelin and all that.
Oh, I love seeing a guy pole vaulting.
Do they still throw the hammer?
They do.
I like the hammer. They do. I like the hammer and the discus.
I like seeing the women throw the shot put. Like they look like the manliest men on earth. It's like watching the World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, it's you get a lot of like East German looking.
Yeah, and they have like full beards and everything. It's pretty awesome.
They do. Apparently, there's been a steroid controversy with the Russians. They had an institutionalized cheating program, which you know how I feel about that. I don't give a fuck. And the Chinese obviously have the same thing. I'll tell you this. Here's one thing. Here's the two things I root for in the Olympics. Any team that's playing the U.S. basketball team.
Spain. I actually, Olympic basketball, I haven't watched, I think, since Dream Team. Pre-Dream Team, I would like it because it was interesting. Yes.
It was
like once the Dream
players.
Team got there, it was either not fun because they were killing everyone,
right?
Or it was a huge disappointment because like that one year that they lost with the Dream Team, and it was like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Allen Iverson.
Yeah, I don't like Olympic basketball. The idea of it is cool.
Yeah,
I like the lane being a different shape.
I like
no goaltending rules. I like some of that. But like the men's, like seeing a bunch of NBA guys, like no thanks.
Different. They have like a different basketball stanchion. It like everything's a little. Yeah. It's like what's up? Like at first you look at the court and you're like, what's going on?
It's like Olympic hockey.
Yes.
Like a little bit different, cool. But like I watch Olympic hockey.
I love Olympic hockey.
Couldn't give a shit about NBA players.
Yes, I agree.
And then it was also announced that Australia is supplying their athletes. So in addition to the 450,000 condoms. Australia is supplying their athletes with Zika-proof condoms. So I have two questions.
That's what I was going to say. Zika's one, a thing there. Okay, continue.
Yeah, one. How much sex will Usain Bolt have? How many condoms will he use there? And then number two, why are Aussies expecting to have mosquitoes biting their dicks?
That's a good one. Well, isn't our... I don't think.
I think Zika is just a mosquito bite.
It is, but I think what they're saying is that it can be transmitted sexually. So maybe like you know how like a lamb skin, if you use it, they still make those. They used to.
You know, I used one once.
Yes, me too.
Just because it was like holy shit. A $30 condom. This thing must feel great. It didn't.
But they're like a little different texture. Like it's definitely a little bit off. But remember that.
And it doesn't roll on the same way. Yes. It's kind of a weird. I'm still a little uncomfortable from something that happened 20 years ago.
Back in the day, they would tell you, you know, a lambskin condom
protects
against AIDS, but not the AIDS. That was before we knew that you. As a dude, you pretty much cannot get AIDS if you're only having sex with chicks. But beyond that, I don't.
The old Sam Kinison line.
Where he goes,
well, heterosexual guys can get AIDS too.
Name one. Yes, exactly. Name one. And Magic Johnson doesn't count. So I don't think they're going to get bitten by mosquitoes on the dick. I think that the Zika gets in your. Jism, and then you could pass the jism to that Argentinian pole vaulter you're nailing. I had a thought and I lost it.
Was it about Usain Bolt?
Okay, I'll answer that one. Usain Bolt, you know that guy is packing a Bolt. That guy is six. Oh, yeah. They must have to get him extra magnums, like Jamaican magnums.
And I was in London 4 years ago. Yeah. And so, you know, they were whipped into a frenzy about him and just the Olympics in general because it was there. So every newspaper all the time were just pictures of him. Like, once he won Fastest Man, like, that's probably, like, with, like, about 4 or 5 days left in the Olympics.
Right. They usually save that to the end.
Yeah. It was in the second week. But they were showing, the papers the next day were showing pictures of him. Were like, oh, here's him with in a random room, like a, it looked, yes, like a, you know, he was in a hotel room with 4 members of the Dutch swim, yes, team, and here's Usain Bolt with 3 members of the Australian, like, boat. There's boating as one of the events. Right. I remember he was with the boating team. Like, he was just seen with tons and tons of white women.
Imagine if you're on the Japanese fencing team. And you don't medal. And it's like, what are you going to bring home? Like, you can tell your friends that you went to the Olympics and you did your fencing, but it wasn't on TV and nobody gives a fuck. But if you come home and say, yeah, I did my fencing, I got 8th place, I was pretty happy with my finish. And oh, by the way, I hooked up with Usain Bolt at a club. Like, that's a win. I remember the last Olympics, they do the swimming at the beginning.
That's week one, track and field's week two.
Get that swimming out of the way. And then that douchebag, Ryan Lochte, the JA guy, he just was still hanging out at the Olympics. And just like you said, the dude was at clubs. He was in
just printing
fucking
money.
Us magazine. And all he was draped with sluts everywhere he went. Like, it's got to be nice to get your event out of the way, win all your gold medals, because then the pressure's off and you can just bang for the whole rest of the time. So,
I told you that like, as the Olympics was over, like maybe the final night, I snuck into the Kiwi party, like their wrap up party, and there were some guys. Yeah, but on top of that, we were talking to some guys that were on the men's field hockey team. They were like alternates on the men's field hockey. Yeah, and these guys, they said they didn't play a second because they were the, like, you know, backups or whatever, and it was a double elimination, and they lost in, like, the first afternoon. They lost both games. So they were just there for 2 weeks partying. These guys were wobbly just because they had partied so much.
And those are always the guys, like, yeah, Michael Phelps, he wins a bunch of gold medals, and that's really cool. I'm sure it feels really good. But the guys I envy, like, I always envy the guy that blows his elbow out at the beginning of the season. Like, that guy gets all his money and he doesn't have to do shit for the whole rest of the season. Like, I always look at the career backup quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Hold a clipboard.
Yeah, the guy holds a clipboard. He backs up Peyton Manning. He makes like $600,000 a year and he never gets his fucking head smushed. Like, that's a great gig. That's a high-paying job.
What's his name? David Carr, once he got his brain bashed in Houston after a few years, he's just been a backup, like, hanging out. I think he's still, like, the Giants backup, one of these. He just hangs out for, like, a decade and gets paid for it.
Backing things up. Nothing wrong with that. Well, props to the Olympics, guys. Ed, somebody the Dream Team could have used. The Dream Team probably would have been just fine. You know, they used to take all stars, and now they take stars, but they kind of go by position where they're like, we need
like some role, like, players too.
Yeah, we need something like, let's get Shane Battier out there. You know, like, we don't need a 40-point scorer at every position. We need a couple 40-point scorers and a couple guys to stand in the middle and put their hands up. If that Dream Team that lost had Charles Oakley, things would have gone a lot different, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. On ESPN's highly questionable show last week, one of these, you know, arguing, yelling shows, rapper Fat Joe divulged the subject of Biggie's song I've Got a Story to Tell on his Life After Death album. It was Anthony Mason. Oh. In the song, Biggie boasts of banging an athlete's wife and taking his money. TMZ caught up with Charles Oakley to ask him what he thought, and Oakley was none too pleased.
Really?
Brian, I have 2 questions for you.
Yes.
One, considering Mason just died last year, Fat Joe loves his free tickets on Celebrity Row in Madison Square Garden, and nobody has thought about him in 12 years. Is Fat Joe the biggest piece of shit on earth or just in the top 10?
Yes.
And number two, of all athletes and ex-athletes in the world, you do not want get on their bad side? Where does Charles Oakley rank?
He's right at the top. I mean, even like O.J. Simpson, like we know what he's capable of, but he's pretty old now and decrepit. Like and he's in jail. Right. Like I wouldn't really worry too much about O.J. Simpson anymore. But Charles Oakley, like.
Yeah, and like Barkley's prime, he would take a swing at him. He didn't give a fuck. Like all these NBA tough guys, Oakley always won that alpha male. And same with Mason. And Mason was a beloved character. Like he was the guy.
Good player.
The Knicks were in the finals the same time the Rangers, when they won their only Stanley Cup in the last like 70 years.
Yes.
And so like on off nights, he would be in the Garden cheering for the Rangers, high-fiving fans. Like, everyone loved that guy. He was in Beastie Boys videos. Like, he was an awesome dude. And he's got sons. Like, one of his sons played for St. John's a couple years ago. Like, does this fucking fat piece of shit really need to take down Mason?
Totally agree. And I always assume, like, when these rappers are telling these stories, I just assume they made it up. Like, I don't, you know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, or maybe it's embellished, or maybe it happened to a buddy of theirs, or what. Like, I know Biggie was pretty hard back in the day, but I just kind of was like, you know, these guys like to, you know, it helps their look.
And Biggie certainly had some good songs. This wasn't even a good song. Yeah. I don't like the song. But anyway, it's like, if that were true, then it meant that Biggie was pointing a gun at Mason, because if there was any chance that these two guys were going to square off physically, Anthony Mason would kill him like inside of a minute. Like, there would be no problem unless weapons
like
were involved.
6'7". He's a professional athlete, and Biggie's just a fat piece of shit. Like he's not. That's why he would need a gun. Like he's not or a posse. It also, speaking ill, like both these guys are dead. Like just. Somebody asks you the question, go, you know what? I don't know. I'm not really sure. Like I was friends with Biggie or whatever. I just like him to rest in peace. He was a good guy. I don't know the story. You know, what is there to gain from answering that? Also,
I'll tell you what, because we're talking about Fat Joe. Lean Back was in 2005. I just looked it up. That was the last time that he had a hit that anybody gave a shit
also
about.
He's got fat in his name and like
and he's like Drew Carey, like he's lost the weight.
Yeah, he's not that fat anymore. He's probably trying to get a reality show. Like I'm not really I can't really
Fuck
take Fat
guy.
Fat Joe's side in this or any other argument, I got to be honest.
And he's one of those guys, like I feel like I was at a Knicks game 2 years ago, and he was in the celebrity row with like actual famous people. I was like, what is that guy doing there?
Yeah.
The only guy who loves his tickets more is who is the enormous dude in The Sopranos that was dating Tony's sister or married to her?
Steve Sciarippa.
Steve Sciarippa. Yeah, that guy, he would show up at an opening of an envelope.
Well, I figured like all those, because those Sopranos guys, like they don't, you know, they're not really working. Like they were on The Sopranos, so they're probably getting drinks bought for them wherever they can, like wherever they can hold. I'm sure Paulie Walnuts is like
Paulie Walnuts doesn't have good range.
I mean, unless Scorsese's casting something right now, I feel like those guys got to get in where they can fit in. So I don't even blame them. okay, Ed. We've all been there. Stranded. Of course, I'm talking about a Code Brown situation, Ed. In the past year alone, I've had to swallow my pride and race into both a McDonald's and an In-N-Out to express my bowels in an immediate and unfortunate manner. What is that, by the way, Ed? Where it's like, and it's. I've made the same mistake both times where I'm walking out the door. I'm in a little bit of a hurry and I'm like, all of a sudden I get a little like twinge where I'm like, oh, I could probably, you know, maybe before I leave, I could take care of something. Or I go, you know what? I'm going to be at my destination soon. And when I get to, I'll just take care of it when I get to my destination because I don't want to be late.
I think you learned your final lesson with this one.
Yeah. Because it's
right. You just can never take that chance.
It's like that whole being in a bookstore thing. It's mostly a psychological thing where your body realizes that you have nowhere to go, and it's just that much more intense that you have to go at that moment.
Mm.
Well, while this is an unfortunate situation, Ed, it has happened to us all. Like, anyone within the sound of my voice has been in one of these situations. We talked about it before on the show. You name a person, and they've nearly shit themselves at one point or another. Cindy Crawford, Mikhail Gorbachev, Dr. Ruth, Tom Brady, Kesha, Bill Cosby. It has happened to us all, Ed. Anton Apollo Ono.
Hang on a second. You broke a cardinal rule.
What?
Nobody is supposed to talk about that guy outside of a month before or after a Winter Olympics. I was just thinking about the
Olympics. Why is he always on those Subway commercials? Like, what?
That dude.
Why am I always getting beaten over the head with that guy?
That guy, like, every 4 years, him and his giant skates are jammed down our throats.
Yes.
And then it's like, okay. It's the Winter Olympics were a month ago. Let's.
He's got to be really annoyed that Johnny Weir gets all the TV work. Like Johnny Weir, like NBC has realized, like, this is much more entertaining if we just have an actual freak doing the pre and post game. Let's get Johnny Weir. And you know this Anton Ono is like, what do I got to do? Like, that guy's a figure skater. I'm a fucking speed skater. Like, I won medals.
I actually do something great.
Also, how do you get into speed skating? This is such a weird sport. Like,
it's not just speed skating. It's short track. Short track. Like, it's a weird.
Is that where they go slow, like 8 out of 10 laps?
Yeah, I think. And then it gets all crazy and they knock each other over.
They all go real slow. Like, why not just make the race 2 laps? If you're going to go slow for the first 8, just do 2. Just do the last 2. Just start at the last 2. Anyway, Ed. We're not all these people, Anton Apollo Ono, not excluded. Everybody's been in this situation, as has one Jonathan Lowe, a TV reporter for KPHO, a local Phoenix area channel. Mm. The 33-year-old Lowe was observed by one of these goddamn Good Samaritans looking out their window. As he picked up papers from the street before leaning against the wall of a house and relieving himself, Ed. An officer tasked with the job of tracking Lowe down said that the suspect admitted to using the yard as an impromptu latrine. Quote, I know what you want to talk to me about. I've been feeling very sick, and I've been stuck in this van all day, the news van. Lowe said, those people who called on me just want to start problems. I don't disagree with this guy, Ed. The woman who made the call about Lowe, heeding nature's call, said that he could have used her bathroom if he had knocked on her door. Ed, it should be stated that Lowe is a black man in Arizona, well regarded as the most racist state in the union. I'm sure that the type of monster that would call the cops on a dude for dealing with an emergency code brown would be more than happy to accommodate the black guy knocking on her door and asking to drop a deuce in her powder room. Ed, I need to know, who is the monster here? Jonathan Lowe for not having a better evacuation plan for those long days on a big story? The nosy bitch who called the cops on this poor guy? Who had obviously already been through something traumatic, or the goddamn Phoenix PD for collaring this dude and embarrassing him on a national level?
I'm finding fault with Jonathan Lowe.
Really?
Because
you got a plan. Really? For this. Because
here's the deal: if he's struggling, if he's percolating, if he's crowning,
yeah,
and he knows he's got a big day ahead. You emote him up.
Oh,
make sure yeah. You make sure.
He did say he'd been
make
sick.
Sure it's like. That's yeah. Right. He didn't say, "Oh, you know, I just something went yeah. wrong." Like, you make sure that shit yeah. doesn't happen. That literally,
abysmal.
Yeah, something
one of the above.
But he's like he's like an amateur.
Yeah,
we all know. And then he's in the van, like he's in a moving vehicle. What is he? What yeah. is he on a stakeout yeah. for?
Yeah.
Like, if something went wrong, you either ask a neighbor to use your bathroom, because I've certainly had plenty of like repairmen and men who are like, "Hey, you might have used your bathroom." It's not a good thing.
The mover will take a shit in your house. He's there all day. At some point, that mover's gonna have to take a shit.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, but I've never turned somebody down, even when I really don't want them to. But he didn't do that, and he just took it upon himself to just shit on somebody's lawn. Fuck that guy.
I mean, you make a point with the
You're in Arizona. You're not far from a fast food restaurant.
Yes, you make a point with he claimed he'd been sick. Because if he knew this was an ongoing situation, he should have been better prepared. Also, these guys go out on the guy that comes to read the meter, the gas meter or the electrical meter, or the census guy. Like these guys that are out, or the mailman. These guys have a system. They know what to do when this happens. They either they scan the local landscape and find a safe haven, or
even the dirty water dog hot dog guy.
Yes, great point.
They know where they're
going.
Yes,
they ask the other hot dog guy to watch their cart, and they run over to the bank or the Duane Reed or something.
Right. They've always got a plan.
Yes, it's you need to have a plan. Unless you're a rookie, you need to have a plan before you get out there. But seriously, you're a metropolitan police department. You're in a big city. People are fucking selling crack and shooting each other in places. You get a call that a guy's taking a shit on the lawn. Okay, you got to go out and investigate. Maybe he's a crazed drug addict that needs to be rounded up. Maybe he's a homeless person that's off their meds. Whatever. You got to go investigate. But you get there and you see what the situation is. And what do you do? Do you go, "Hey, I'm going to have to cuff you and arrest you and take you downtown?" Or do you say, "Hey, bro, why don't you grab that hose over there and just clean up the mess that you made and go apologize to Mrs. Johnson and 24B over there, and we just call it a day. We just wipe this under the rug.
Shame him a little bit.
He doesn't need to be publicly shamed. He's got his own shame.
Right. He doesn't need to be collared. I mean, right. Because he's a black guy, that's definitely something that's not cool.
Yes.
If it was a white guy,
yeah,
he probably would have just been reprimanded.
Yes.
So I agree with you there. I'm just saying, like, the guy said he was sick.
Yeah, he should have been.
You got to prep.
I agree. Like, have a bag and have like a trash bag. This is a worst case scenario, obviously. Have a trash bag and a few Subway napkins in the car, and just now, in case.
Now, on a more macro level, I know you're a fan of local news.
Yeah, I do. I watch the local news.
Unless they're interviewing somebody on the scene that's really important. Why do they always have people like just standing outside a courthouse, standing outside an area where something happened? Like, what's the point?
That's a real good point. You could just read your story, like voice over the story, right, and get
you
some
could have a cameraman.
Shots. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes they'll just send out the cameraman to get the shots and send them back.
But the person in the storm,
right?
Like, I don't really understand. I've never understood why they need to be outside a court.
That's a really good point. What, Ed, while I was at the Bernie rally on Saturday, while I was waiting in the TSA line, the local news was fucking on high alert, and I was desperate to get interviewed. I was like leaning like way over the railing just to like see if she'd catch my eye and come over and talk to me, because I desperately wanted to promote the Baller Lifestyle podcast.
That would be great.
On my local news. And so I was waiting for her to be like, "Hey, what are you?" And I'd be like, "Hey, I'm Brian Beckner. You probably know me from the Baller Lifestyle podcast." And I had my whole script practiced in my brain, but alas, she never came over.
I do have a question that's good about that rally. I imagine the talent there was probably pretty good, right?
I mean,
good and bad. I could see some terrible, but I would think of any political crowd, that's going to be one of the more talented crowds.
You would think so. There were a lot of fats, Ed.
Really?
Quite a few fats, yeah. And it was hot. And there was,
I could see fats at Trump.
There was a little sweaty, and there was a like strawberry lemonade concession, and also kettle corn, and these fats were all over. And I think that had that was one of the issues.
I will say kettle corn is pretty
it's delicious, but not a whole sleeve of it, like a couple handfuls. I think that was one of the issues with the fats not being able to operate the beach ball. I think because they all had one of these huge strawberry lemonades in one hand, they weren't able to actually like they were kind of like thrown off their equilibrium. They couldn't really balance and line up the
right, like we established, you know, their motor skills are not going to be good.
Yeah, and if you're like if you're a coke addict,
hand eye
coke addict, say yep. You're like who's the actor that plays Iron Man? Robert Downey Jr. And he's clean now. But back in the day, he was a hardcore cokehead. If you go to a place and you're known as a hardcore cocaine addict, you slip away and you slyly do your cocaine. You don't do it right there in front of everybody else. And the same with these massive fats. Like, have some Twinkies in your bag. Like, whatever, you know, whatever your vice is, like, keep it low. Don't just get the biggest, most sugary 47-ounce lemonade drink that you can get and just show everybody how you got to the place you are. Like, have some shame, man. Yeah, there were a lot of fats there. Okay, Ed, one more real quick before we get to fancy.
Yeah, yeah.
There is nothing worse in the world than a hypocrite. Except for maybe a mass murderer or rapist or pedophile or
let's just stick with hypocrite.
Or a stranger that tries to start a conversation with you in public, like on the bus or something. Yeah. Or what?
Somebody invites you to a potluck dinner. There's a lot, but let's stick with hypocrites for now.
My personal favorite, the people that verbalize their yawns. Like, feels too much. Like, your yawn doesn't make a sound. Like, you didn't need, you added that in. You wanted me to hear you yawn. Why do you do that? Don't do that. Just yawn silently.
Because a cousin of those people, the excessively loud sneezer. Yeah,
that's the same person.
I'm not endorsing the person who holds it in and makes that really creepy noise.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Which is like equally creepy. But the people who go like, you know, they go up to 11 on that sneeze. Like, let's, you know, just do a natural sneeze. Let it happen and move on. But the people are like, whoa!
First of all, do it into your elbow. Because if you do it into your hands, yeah, I'm not going to shake your hand, obviously. But you're going to shake somebody's fucking hand at some point. Do it.
Right, and we've been on Earth long enough. Yeah. You have to know to sneeze into your arm, not your fucking hand.
Sneeze into your elbow or your shoulder, like kind of into your sleeve. Do not do it into your hands. But
the vocal cord shouldn't be of use in that.
In a yawn or a sneeze, you just do a regular, just do whatever the normal sound it makes. Don't catch yourself. Try not to add any noise to it because nobody wants to hear that. Nobody's impressed with your yawn. No one's trying to. And also, a yawn can start a yawning.
It's contagious. Yes,
everyone around you could start to yawn if they notice you yawn, and nobody wants that.
No.
That said, hypocrites are still pretty bad people, Ed.
Yeah, let's still consider them the worst.
What if
right
I
now.
Told you, though, that a hypocrite was also vegan?
that's a double
or
threat
at least
right there.
Claimed to be vegan.
Yeah, yeah. Vegan in quotes.
I saw a dumb like, what are those charts called? Where it's like the circles they overlay each other.
Venn diagram.
Yes, I saw a Venn diagram. It's stupid, but it said like, does CrossFit is vegan, and then the Venn part was never stops talking because
insufferable.
Yes, those people never shut up. Well, Ed, I want to tell you the story. This is a New York City story. I want to tell you the story about fugitive restaurateurs Sarma Mengalis and her husband Anthony Strangis. Always a little weird when you don't have the same last name. You're married, different last names.
I will give you one exception.
Yeah. Professional.
You know when that dude, well, I mean, professional, let's say that the chick was super famous something, you know, like a, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus or something. She marries somebody like she's got her own thing. However, how about when it's like Wiener or something, yes. Like the dude's yes. name, like Anthony Wiener's wife, Huma Abedin or whatever. I don't blame her one bit. Like, even before the scandal. But, like, I was just thinking about, like, they were talking about, because she works for Hillary, and they brought her name up, and I was like, yeah, that's a good call, not taking the name Wiener.
I made an Instagram the other day, because I saw this guy in the local news. You know, they want to do this Hyperloop thing, Ed.
I don't know.
Where it's like, this is Elon Musk's idea, where they take, like, a...
Oh, yeah.
They take a pneumatic tube, and they lay track, and they can fucking shoot you in this pneumatic tube to other cities. Like,
featured in The Living Daylights, a Timothy Dalton Bond movie.
Like, way faster. And so they did, like, a test, and there's this guy from SpaceX that's, like, in charge of the Hyperloop company. And I saw, and I made an Instagram of this because I was shocked. They were interviewing him for the news, and the guy's name was Brogan Bambrogan.
I didn't see that.
And I was like... What the fuck? And I was like, and I thought, oh, this is kind of funny, and I let it go. But it kept gnawing at me. And so I did something, and this was a mistake, Ed.
What?
I Googled this son of a bitch.
Oh, no.
And it turns out the guy's...
But you knew before you Googled Brogan.
Yeah, well, obviously not his real name, Brogan Bambrogan. So I Googled him, and it turns out the guy's name is Kevin Brogan. And at some point, he married some woman. And in some kind of fucking new school hippie thing, they decided to combine their names. But I'm calling bullshit on this because the woman he married is called Bambi Lou. She's Asian. So instead of changing his name to Kevin Lou Brogan, he took the Bam from Bambi, slapped it on his last name, and then doubled his last name as his first name and called himself Brogan Bambrogan. What a fucking monster.
Yeah, what a complete shit.
That said, they're going to have a fucking tube. He says within 10 years. Within 10 years, they're going to have a tube that can shoot me to San Francisco in like 45 minutes.
Which is way cool.
Yeah.
And I support any way of improving transportation, totally. All that. However.
Terrorism?
However. Nah, fuck that. I'm not all that worried about that. I have a real problem. Like, it's going to take a decade of people trying it for me to take the word of a guy named Brogan Bambrogan.
That's a great point.
You know, like, you know, if it's John Smith, John Stevens, something, you know, just somewhat normal and not douchey, I'm thinking in my head, you know what? I don't want to be the first person, but, like, I can get on board pretty quickly. This guy, it's going to take a decade before I'm willing to try.
Well, he's a protege of Elon Musk. Hopefully, and I mean, Elon Musk, there's a name. But
badass.
He's a badass, that's his given name.
That's a given name, but like, it's not, it's an odd name, a peculiar name, but not douchey, like chosen to be douchey name.
Right. Well, hopefully by the time they get this pneumatic tube, it's going to shoot me to San Francisco in 45 minutes. Hopefully, they've got a new CEO. You know, these CEOs, they come and go. So this, this Brogan Bambrogan, like, he came in, he had changed his name to that, and Elon had to be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, let's start looking around. Let's get a search team together.
My name is Elon Musk, and, like, I am being dwarfed in the weird name situation here.
Okay, these people, Ed, Sarma Mangalis and her husband, Anthony Strangis, they used to own the New York City vegan hotspot, Pure Food and Wine. And when I read this story, I remember Howard Stern used to go to this place. He used to...
Yeah, this was a who's who of like, hey, I need to be in the page six, right? Like this was one of those places. Page six, look how healthy I am. This is how people dine vegan want you to know it.
Alec Baldwin met his yoga teacher, his yogi wife, much younger yogi wife, Hilaria, at Pure Food and Wine. Anyway, Pure Food and Wine is closed now because apparently the people that owned it were huge crooks, Ed. They weren't paying any taxes. They stopped paying their workers because this woman, Sarma, was gambling away all the profits at casinos and buying high-end luxury items. The cops are on the lookout for these people, and they recently caught up to them. They have been collared, Ed, in eastern Tennessee
Well, that's
felled by their own mistake when they ordered a Domino's pizza to their hotel room. So not only are these vegans not actual vegans, they're huge hypocrites when they're eating like the most processed food you can have in a Domino's pizza. So Ed, I need to know, what's worse, that these two hit Domino's because, or not what's worse, but do you think that these two hit Domino's because they thought the fuzz had all the Whole Foods already staked out?
That's probably true, in that they were, that was probably the 400th lead.
Yes.
Because they had a lot of other leads. But ordering Domino's in East Tennessee, what is that, Knoxville, I think, is East Tennessee. I can't imagine something worse. Like, I would not want my parents to read bad things about me in the paper. But if they were to read that I ordered Domino's, I don't know if my parents would even talk
also,
to me.
Also, like, dad certainly in a rural, not. Like, Domino's is bad everywhere. But in a rural area, they do it especially bad. It's like the worst fast food is probably Burger King. But the Burger King, when you're out on the road on the 40 freeway in the middle of the desert where there's nothing else around, is even worse than the worst Burger King in like a metropolitan, like a city where people go to it every day, when it's the only thing around.
Because that's multiple hours drive away
from
food. Being fresh.
Yes, exactly.
I don't understand like why people have to have Domino's. Like, pizza seems pretty simple.
Yeah, just go to a local pizza joint.
But there are areas that don't have like an adequate, like, some people said, like, I've heard them say, well, all that's around is like, you know, Papa John's and stuff like that. Like, why can't every town have an adequate pizza place? It's not like very complicated recipes. No, like,
agreed.
There's good pizza and bad pizza of your local pizzerias, but like overall, they're always way better than like Papa John's and
totally
Domino's.
Agree. Always look for just like an Italian name and just go for it.
It might not be perfect, but it's going to be way better than those shitholes.
Same goes for a sandwich. Why would you ever get Subway when there's another sandwich joint probably half a block away that's just some mom and pop place that takes a little more pride in it?
Sure, and what's with the goddamn smell in Subway? You just walk by it on the sidewalk and it's disgusting.
It's the worst smell. It smells terrible. Stay out of Subway. Okay, Ed, it is time. She joins us now. It's time to do the pop culture segment of the show. No Bachelor involved because we've spun off a separate Bachelor show. But Ed, I'll tell you, if there's a season you want to get into The Bachelor, you know what you should do, Ed? First, you should listen to The Bachelor Lifestyle and then watch the companion show to The Bachelor Lifestyle, The Bachelorette.
That's the companion.
Yeah, it's on TV. The show is the podcast that we do about The Bachelorette, and then the show that's on TV is the companion to the podcast. Of course, our very own Fancy Sauce hosts The Bachelor Lifestyle. She joins us now to talk pop culture. How you doing, Fancy?
What's up?
What is going on? Kate, give us an update on our Patreon page. Guys, for those that don't know, if you haven't heard, we've started a Patreon page where you can contribute financially to the show. Go to patreon.com, find The Baller Lifestyle, and kick us a few bucks a month. Help keep the lights on. Help keep the beer flowing. Just help us out. Kate, who's kidding?
And also, like, how many chances in life do you have where you can do something where you really feel good about yourself?
That's true. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, our Patreon page, right? That's probably as good as you're going to feel all year.
I totally agree.
Give yourself an early Christmas gift and join our Patreon fam, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle.
Yeah. Get with us. Who's?
And I have one confession to make. I still struggle with the forward slash versus backslash.
I think it's like falling forward. Like it's about, it's like,
I have to check
it's
that.
Like leaning over. So
I'm not saying this like I'm challenging you. I'm always looking at it and I'm like, well, what?
No.
What am I supposed to know?
I'm trying to reason it out on the air because I don't know either. But if I had to get, I'm picturing both, and I think the one that's like leaning like looks like it's about to fall
slash,
down.
And leaning back is the backslash.
It is very confusing though. Whoever invented the internet really fucked us up with that.
Right.
So good thanks job. To the newest members of our Patreon fam this week. Shout outs go to Toe Cutter.
Oh, Toe Cutter's an emailer. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Toe Cutter. Great
Lee
dude.
Peterson.
Lee Peterson. Very generous. Super Lee. He's a
thank
good
you,
guy.
Lee.
Very generous contribution.
Super Lee. From Minnesota.
And
as long as he's not emailing me or tweeting me when his stupid gophers
beat
the
they
Terps.
Never win anything.
And super fan Will Carlton.
Will Carlton, another great guy.
Thank you, yes. Will.
Thanks, you guys.
Yes.
You guys are heroes. And if you've thought about contributing and haven't yet, what are you waiting for? You can pledge as much or as little as you like. It makes a difference to us, and we are all in this together.
Yes.
All of us.
We're going for a goal. Okay, Kate, more importantly, what is going on in the world of pop culture? Yes.
In the news?
Yes.
The real, what I call the world news?
Yes, this is what I want to know.
Back in April, Game of Thrones star Emilia Clarke told Glamour magazine what to expect if Daenerys Targaryen finally gets her shit together and takes over the Iron Throne.
Yes, she's getting there. Ed's signed out on this show, but I'm still in.
Oh, you have it?
Yes, he doesn't watch.
You know, yeah, and you know what was so cool is somebody texted me like, oh, you're out? Well, you just missed Khaleesi getting naked. And I went to HBO Go. I Googled and it said, end of the episode, she gets naked. I went to HBO Go, looked at it, and I was like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure a building was on fire and I saw some
tits.
Yeah,
you're a hero.
Great. Great. Goodbye.
Okay, what's going on with Daenerys Targaryen?
Emilia Clarke said in this interview, I want to see Daenerys and her three dragons share the throne. And bring back all the pretty boys, get them to take their trousers down and be like, I'm now the queen of everything and I'd like close-ups of all the boys' penises, please.
Wow.
That's right, Clarke was pushing hard for the show to be a little more equal when it came to full frontal nudity. As oftentimes it's the women, including Clarke herself, bearing all for the camera. So a week after her own memorable nude scene, which Ed just depicted, Clarke's decree clearly got through to the show's directors.
She got those titties out.
Who featured...
Great tip.
This past Sunday night, a tight close-up of a dick and balls in Thrones' most recent episode, which I confirm was definitely the best viewed on a 55-inch high-def TV.
That was not an exceptionally attractive penis and or balls, though. Let's be honest. Like, it's still...
I think that was the point.
In a way that it made you feel good about yourself, or was it just
it's
weird
still,
looking?
Yeah, it's, well, it was uncircumcised.
Do you know what
it was soft.
It was period correct.
Yes, it was not, but it was not especially...
Ed, it was a full close-up, and it lasted for a while.
Ed, you...
So you might want to go and Google...
Yeah,
and
you,
go
yeah
to,
you're going to have to look
to
that
HBO
one.
Yeah.
Somebody can give me the minute mark.
In the interest
that.
Of fairness...
But what one thing I know that it's not right, but to me, I think in comedy, see like what was that? Forgetting Sarah Marshall,
yeah. Jason
the cock
Siegel.
And balls there, like that was a funny totally. Scene. Like I feel like to me, I mean, because I'm a heterosexual man, seeing a naked dude can be a funny thing, totally. But. It's still pretty fucking gross. Men are gross.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, it's not the same. Women aren't titillated in the same way as men are.
Like the Brett Favre move? That's a gross move.
Women get sent dick pics all the time, and they're grossed out by them. I think it really needs to be a case-by-case situation.
Hey, sure. It's not titillating in the same way, but it is titillating to see full... Frontal male
well, like
nudity.
A full Affleck is totally. Pretty good.
Yeah.
There should be more of it.
He half-stepped at that Affleck. I do recall, Ed, do you recall the HBO miniseries? I think it might have even been a series for like a couple years. It was in ancient Rome, and it was called Rome.
Rome. It was called
and
Rome.
And there was at yes. once there was a lot of sex on that show. And then at one point,
yeah, that was a good show.
They were like this – one of the characters was like – visiting and they wanted to, and the queen or whatever wanted to give her a gift. And they're like, so she sent for a slave with a huge cock to come fuck her. And the slave came
that's
in.
A nice gift.
And this, and his dong,
tripod.
His dong was like tied up from the end. And this guy had a massive and quite attractive dong.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty girthy.
It was girthy. It was big. I don't know if it was real, but it was much, much more attractive than the one we saw in Game of Thrones this week.
What show was that? So I can Google it.
Yeah, Rome. You're going to have to Google.
Is Rome. Rome, you should definitely go back and just watch it on HBO Go. It's a great show.
And those two guys from Rome have popped up in lots of stuff since. They're like
big-time
guys now. But yeah, good show, Rome. And a lot of cock, if you're into cock on TV.
We're the dong show of record.
That's true. We talk about politics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel's drinking and drug use worse than ever.
Out of control.
Out of control.
Any word on his acne? Because that last I saw, that was out of control as well.
I think that's a...
What do we know about his drug use? Like, I know he's gotten some DWIs and he's always partying and stuff. What is he, like Molly? Like, what is his drug use?
Parties.
People are saying that he is spiraling so hard that he's blowing lines in front of people he barely knows.
Oh, we just talked about this. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to hide it. If everybody knows you have a drug problem, you're supposed to go in the bathroom.
Also, he's like persona non grata at several nightclubs in Vegas, including Jewel at the Aria after a violent outburst this past weekend. So apparently he's too much of a risk. They don't want him in the clubs there.
I know he came from money, but like he couldn't have made that much money as a football player.
Probably a few million. Two
he probably gets
tops.
Calmed a lot of
like
stuff
late first
Vegas
rounder
he
like
was a QB.
I can't imagine.
He's still obviously you guys know he's living under the delusion he'll make it back into the NFL and he's recently talked about his comeback plans with TMZ Sports, but I don't see
Jamarcus
him
Russell has
in
a better
training
chance.
Anytime soon.
Now you have to be the problem is he was never good. And now he wasn't good and he's a problem. There's just no one's ever going to take a chance. Maybe if he goes to the Montreal Alouettes.
If Andrew Luck went off the rails right now, like 2 years later, somebody would be like, you know what? That guy had a hell of an arm. He could make good calls. Like Johnny Manziel, like fuck that. Just a headache for no talent.
NFL.
NFL
not
talent.
Not for long.
But side note, I don't want to make it sound like we are not empathetic for people with these kind of issues because they're real issues and they're not... really by choice.
But the issue before he went off the rails was he was a jerk off.
Well,
like,
that's a separate
he was a guy
a
that
issue.
Like was very entitled. Yeah. Like he was
that's
a jerk
the thing.
Off.
Like,
it's just he was playing well and he hadn't fallen off the rails.
Came up with that oil money.
Addiction is for good guys and bad guys.
He was a fantastic, a really, really unbelievable college football player. Really, the guy could fucking run and
he was fun, but it wasn't a sustainable.
But he definitely was special.
I mean,
a minute. And now
he could just clean up his act. Yeah. He could have got on this season of The Bachelorette.
Also, he could
he could be giving Jordy Rogers a run for his money.
He could still get a proactive spot. Like if he cleans up and cleans up his skin, he's already got the before pictures.
Yeah,
like Adam Levine, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
a good
have
idea.
Proactive.
Katy Perry, yes. Okay, what else, Kate?
Bill Cosby has been ordered to stand trial for allegedly sexually assaulting a woman. A Pennsylvania judge just ruled there is probable cause to believe the comedian drugged Andrea Constand at his Philly mansion back in 2004.
Well, yeah, because he admitted it in a deposition.
Stuck his hand down her pants and followed her. He admitted a lot of stuff in that deposition.
Well, which one of us got Bill Cosby in the death pool this year?
I think it was you.
Yeah.
Was it me?
It was you or Kate.
I know
it wasn't
I wanted
me.
Him, but I feel like Kate got him. I
think it might have been me.
Depends on when this trial starts.
He faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted of aggravated indecent assault.
That's it.
Did they say what, like how this is possible? Because I think this is the chick I read about. Like when it first started, like this was the first one that they started talking about. But there had already been... discussions and payouts, like how is it
he's paid
and also
off
just
a lot of
timing
money. I tell you, I know how this happened. I know exactly how it happened. So there was a district attorney in the whatever county in Pennsylvania this happened who was like, look, do a deposition, tell your story, and he's like, and then you take care of this woman in the civil suit and I won't charge you criminally. And
so it wasn't that they dismissed the charges.
They
never
brought charges.
They never brought charges.
And now
they should have.
Now they're
And because there's something on record, the statute of limitation thing doesn't
now
count.
And now there's a new DA that's like, I didn't make any fucking deals with Bill Cosby.
Exactly.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We have a deposition where he tells how he fucking gives people drugs.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that. There's stuff in that about him drugging minors as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one girl was 17.
America's dad. Speaking of
America's dad is a pretty. I mean, that's something that. That ranks up there with embarrassing American moments, like slavery. Yes, there's some bad moments, and him being America's dad is
it's crazy. Also, people with skin issues, like he has so many skin tags all over his face. Like, what? How can he not just go one laser treatment that could probably take care of all those? He's got all the money.
He definitely
and
has
they grow
all the
back,
money.
But just get him lasered off. Also, I don't know about the weird eye situation thing that he has going on, but definitely the skin he can get fixed, especially if he's going to be in court.
Skin tags are easy. You can just go into your dermatologist's
Zap
office
those off.
And get nitrous. What's it called? Nitrogen oxide.
I don't know. Liquid nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen.
Whatever. When you have that kind of money, you can just have somebody come to the house and
they'll
fix all
invent
that
some shit. Okay, Kate, what else?
And we never talked about this. This happened a while ago, but I still want to bring it up. Celine Dion lost her elderly husband, Rene Angeli.
Rene Angeli.
And the funeral for her husband was one of the best gifts the celebrity world has given us in recent times.
I found it fantastic.
I don't know if anyone saw pictures, but
I did.
Celine had this huge throne on a stage, which she sat on and looked at all the guests.
She had an audience.
She had an audience.
She was holding an audience.
Did she sat on the throne or he
she
like
sat
a
on the
weekend
throne,
at Bernie?
No, that would have been better. Though.
Holding court to the audience of funeral goers. And she was dressed in a mafia wife black dress and black lace veil.
Yes.
It was amazing.
And also with her two very young sons. Even though husband was real old. Yes, she's very much enjoying being a widow.
She turned his funeral into a Vegas performance.
Yeah, it was
it was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, just wanted to mention that.
I have a confession to make.
No. Go ahead.
I saw an interview with her like 5-10 years ago, and she seemed very nice.
Yeah.
She did. Like, I'm just saying, like, whatever. I couldn't give a rat's ass about her music.
She may be a nice lady.
She just seems a little off to me. She's very enjoying the attention she's getting from. Also, it looks like it's aged her quite a bit, the death of her husband. But I'm sure she's very nice.
Yeah. All right. I have some celebrity baby news. Gossip rags are trying to convince us that Gwen Stefani is up the duff. That's Australian for pregnant. With Blake.
I thought that was in the ass. Isn't Duff ass? No.
With Blake Shelton's baby. But we're still not even convinced these two are an actual couple or that Blake is only 39 years old.
Yeah.
Or that he's. Are we sure he's heterosexual?
And that too.
He supposedly just gets a lot. Like he had many mistresses.
A lot of tail.
With the last one. But how can I be in my 40s and that guy be in his 30s? Like,
it's crazy.
I'm not.
What?
Yes, he's 39.
Well, as much as I love him, the fact that I'm 2 years older than John Oliver is still not sitting.
That was a big shock. Like a couple.
He turned 38 like a week ago.
I thought he was like in his mid 40s.
You did?
Yeah, John Oliver. He's younger than me.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
What?
Also,
he seems young to me.
I love
his energy. He seems young.
Love him.
I love John Oliver.
But he doesn't look in his 30s.
But it is always
one of the best things
a little
we have on TV.
Shocking when he turns to a profile shot because that guy has got one of the biggest beaks I've ever seen.
I love it when he makes jokes about his appearance, about being a toucan. And
yes.
He's terrific, but he's not in his 30s.
It's hard to believe.
I don't believe
it. Well, Gwen Stefani's 47, so the idea of her accidentally being knocked up,
impossible.
Like it was a big shock.
It's impossible.
Highly unlikely.
I'm not always a fan of her actual style, but I saw her like a couple days ago, and it is staggering. She's 47.
She's so hot.
Looks
she's
so
hot.
Good.
Yes.
Huge fan.
She's so hot.
Do you guys?
She's usually doing weird things with her hair and stuff, but she's
hot. Makeup.
This couple
had
a baby in secret.
Ooh.
Alexis Bledel of Gilmore Girls, who's married to Vincent Kartheiser, who was Pete on Mad Men.
Oh, and she was on
the best character
in Mad Men, too.
Yeah, they had an affair. That's why Trudy left Pete.
Yes.
They had a a baby in secret.
Secret baby.
Yeah. They just kept it under wraps. Well, what?
I mean, secret in the sense that, like, were they pretending they didn't have one?
No, like, not in secret.
Well, are they in the news?
It just, like, just kind of came, no one reported on it. No, they just kind of kept it under wraps.
Or, like who's, who's Gosling and Eva Mendes? Oh, she's so bad.
That was another sort of.
She was, people knew she was pregnant, but she had the baby in secret. But this Alexis Bledel, no one even knew she was pregnant.
That's true.
But does anyone know who she is?
Oh yeah, I do.
Who is she?
Gilmore Girls when it was on. She was Rory.
Oh, that she was a star of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, she was
Girls.
The daughter.
Speaking of Gosling, I saw a decent movie last night with him and him and Russell Crowe.
Was that good?
Pretty
What's
good.
What's it called? It was Two for the Road.
Nice guys.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It's worth watching. It's not like an A+, but I would say like a good solid B. Good movie.
Yeah, I want to see that. I'm going to see that.
Here's some more actresses that are with child that you might not have known about.
Oh.
Currently.
That are pregnant. Yeah.
Pregnant.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Erica Christensen.
Oh, the Scientologist.
Who is that?
She's the Scientologist. She was in, don't tell me, she's the daughter in Traffic.
Yeah.
Oh, the chick who like went off the rails. Michael Douglas' daughter.
Yeah, has she worked since?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has she
been in one movie? Is that her career?
She's pregnant. She's still 16.
Yes.
But are you calling that secretly pregnant?
No.
Because are paparazzi following her?
These are just people that are pregnant that you might not know are pregnant that I'm filling you in on.
She's only slightly more famous than me at this point.
Olivia Wilde.
Justin Sudeikis' wife. Jason Sudeikis. She's on vinyl. She's a little handsome. She has kind of a square face.
She's good looking. She's very good looking. And Jason Sudeikis. An underrated Coxman.
Major league Coxman.
He really is.
January Jones.
Yeah, he slays.
I think Eva Mendes.
Yeah, I think that's true. He's fun. He's good looking and funny. Good combination. Yeah, it's a winning combination.
Pretty good combo.
Catherine Giudice.
Oh, that's a.
Is this
a
famous
New Jersey
person?
Housewife?
She's married to that Sean Lowe bachelor.
Sean
Lowe was the bachelor
a
couple of seasons ago, and that this was his pick, and they got married. Now
she's married to the virgin bachelor.
Yeah, he was the virgin bachelor. Yes.
Okay, good for her.
So she got impregnated by a virgin.
Liv Tyler is having another baby.
Oh, really? Interesting. She's got several baby daddies.
I heard you mention this person earlier.
Who?
Ilaria Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Is having, she and Alec,
who is
Alec
this?
Baldwin's wife, they're having their second child.
She is like in her
early wife.
30s.
But she's not famous except for marrying Alec Baldwin, right?
I think she's like a TV correspondent
she's gotten
now.
Some fame.
Yeah, yeah, she's become famous since marrying Alec.
And how old is he? He's having
he's
probably
got
like 63.
No, I'd say he's like late 50s.
You would?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be on the floor with
Oh,
with
yeah,
that
he's
kid.
Probably Audrina, really excited.
Audrina Patrick.
Partridge
from The Hills.
Is this fame? What's the fame from this person?
She was on that show, The Hills. That was
Alec Baldwin is 58. She has she's got fake breasts, but Audrina Partridge has a hot body.
She doesn't do it for me.
She's from The Hills and like anything like was that a reality show
or
a scripted show?
Actress Jenna Malone.
Her, I don't know.
She's a great actress.
Who's that?
Jenna Malone. She's most recently been in all the Hunger Games movies. She was in like Donnie Darko. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've probably seen her. Good for her and her baby.
I hope that's correct.
Yes.
Sometimes I.
Congratulations.
Yes. And supermodels Bar Raffaelli and Candace Swanepoel, both Victoria's Secret models.
Both been sexed by.
Bingo.
I don't think. Candace
DiCaprio,
has,
right?
Oh, he definitely.
Bit Bar,
he definitely
and Leo
Bar.
Were together for.
She's Israeli.
Oh wow!
Yeah, very exotic.
That's it.
Who's the Hunger Games person?
Oh,
Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's a good actress.
Is that it, Kate?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent job.
That would be it.
Ed Daly, fantastic job on your part as always. That will do it. For episode...
Great job, all of us.
Outstanding, all the way around. That will do it for episode 121 of the program.
So crazy.
For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from... from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Bye. Goodbye.